This is an ABC podcast.
Live across Victoria.
On ABC Listen.
Your smart speaker.
And on your radio.
This is 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
This is where the conversation begins.
This is the Conversation Hour.
You're with Mary Guerin.
Good morning. What a morning. Victoria, your Premier, Jacinta Allan, has stepped down, resigned as Premier. But we're in limbo at the moment. Her challenger, Ben Carroll, has said, yes, he's ready to step in. But in the past half hour or so, Attorney General Sonia Kilkenny has said she will challenge him. We're still waiting to see what that's all about and how that will play out. We want to continue the conversation this morning. What do you think? As the news breaks, there is still so much to digest. If you haven't had your chance to call the morning's programs, join me now this morning. Tell me about what you're thinking about what's happening, what should be happening, and will this change your vote in the state election, no matter who you're going for? Just to catch you up, just 90 minutes ago, Jacinta Allan resigned as Victoria's Premier before she was dumped by her party room. She got in early before her challenger, Ben Carroll, needed to put it to a vote. This is what she said.
My whole life, Mum taught me to never give up. Dad, he always taught me to do the right thing. Recently, I've reflected on how deeply how these two lessons have shaped me, and on the fact that they don't always point in the same direction. After speaking with my colleagues overnight, I've made the difficult decision to step aside as leader of the Victorian State Parliamentary Labor Party and as Premier of Victoria.
So that was Jacinta Allan this morning. She was framing it there as a tension between her mum and her dad's advice, either to never give up or to do the right thing. I'd love to hear from you what you think could have, should have happened with Jacinta Allan, how you'll be remembering Jacinta Allan as well. If you're in Bendigo, in that electorate of Jacinta Allan, tell me what you're feeling today. It's not confirmed that she will stand again and run in Bendigo. How are you feeling this morning? Also, if you're a woman, or even if you're not a woman, is there a gender aspect to this? Now, Jacinta Allan says, no, women and girls shouldn't be put off by this coup this morning. You should still enter the fray and make a difference through politics. Do you agree? Is this at all free of gender? Let me know what you think. As I said, how will you remember Jacinta Allan? She spoke with a lot of emotion this morning about her pride in working to advocate for women's health and boost women's voices and experiences, particularly when it comes to their pain experiences. Is that what will stay with you? What will you remember Jacinta Allan for? And how do you think this could and should play out? Please join the conversation. This is developing and we're all watching it together. We will obviously bring you live any developments here on 774 ABC Melbourne and Victoria as the minutes continue. It seems like everything's happening each minute. And also between all of the politics talks, we're going to be talking about Victoria's swimmers in the pool in Glasgow and also remembering the late, great Bill Oddie. Peter, you're in Bacchus Marsh. What have you thought of this morning's developments?
Well, I'm really disappointed. I'm pleased that the Premier stepped down, but I'm disappointed that there was no apology for the hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone overseas for the Commonwealth Games, the treaty that we didn't get to vote on, the massive debt we've got, and generations after generations have to pay for this debt. I would have liked an apology, and I think an apology is overdue.
An apology from her, and I guess some people, her supporters, would certainly say a lot of that was not under her direct purview, Peter. Do you think that Bill, do you think that any future leader, whether it's Ben Carroll or not, will be carrying that as well?
Well, the fact is she was a Minister for Infrastructure, so she oversaw the big builds before she became Premier. She pushed this treaty hard without any proper consultation. That should have been put to a vote. It doesn't matter whether you're for or against it. It's a democratic oversight, and it shouldn't have happened. If we're going to make massive changes to what's happening in Victoria, people should have had a chance to think about it and say, yep, I'm good with that, or no, I'm not.
Peter, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. Do you agree with Peter? Let me know. 1300 222 774. We'll keep talking about all of that. Was the big build the issue for you? Let me know. Next, how does the new Premier Ben Carroll, if he is going to become the new Premier, proceed from here? How will this proceed from here this morning? There has been this late challenge from Sonia Kilkenny. How will that all play out? We'll explore that next.
This is The Conversation Hour with Mary Guerin.
Joining me now is Chief State Political Editor for The Age, Chip Legrand, who has been following this, obviously, for quite some time. Thanks for joining us, Chip.
Hi, Mary.
Tell us about this latest move. Can you bring us up to date with exactly what's happening with Sonia Kilkenny and that challenge?
Well, so far we've heard some raised voices in the caucus room of the Labor Party, but no puff of white smoke. So we don't have confirmation yet Ben Carroll will be the next leader, although it'd take something of a divine intervention for it to be anyone else. I think with Sonia Kilkenny, probably what we're seeing there, and Ben would know this very well because he did this when Daniel Andrews quit, and Ben Carroll challenged briefly Jacinta Allen for the leadership. He did that as a way of then negotiating to become deputy, and the thinking is that probably Sonia Kilkenny has something similar in mind here. I don't think she'll endear herself to colleagues if she holds up the show for too long, though, because until that point, this was shaping as a very smooth transition. I thought that the most remarkable aspect of Jacinta Allen's concession speech was the grace she showed towards Ben Carroll, and in effect endorsing his leadership and saying that she was going to support his efforts to win the election. You won't often hear that from a political leader who's just been rolled by a colleague. So she was going out of her way to make this as easy as possible for this point for Ben Carroll to take the leadership and for the government to get back to the business of trying to win the next election. So we'll see if this gets wrapped up fairly quickly.
As you say, apart from these factional footsies that might be coming into play very late, Jacinta Allen certainly right up until this morning was talking so tough, and we know that she's, as she describes herself, a fighter. What did it come down to in your mind? What are you hearing? Were the obviously it's about numbers, but what did it come down to for her supporters in the end to turn so much against her and to convince her to step back?
Well, look, I think that, I mean, there was a few things that was happening. The one thing you can't get away from is that she had become a very unpopular leader. It didn't matter what opinion poll you read. She wasn't popular among voters. And in fact, there had developed, I think, to some extent, almost a disturbing level of animus towards Jacinta Allen, which I don't think was warranted, but anyway, that's what had happened. And MPs were experiencing this when they knocked on the doors of constituents to try to talk to them, and they couldn't kind of get past the anger that people were expressing towards Jacinta Allen. Obviously, the corruptions, revelations about corruptions on the government's big build sites feed into that. I mean, MPs are being called corrupt to their faces when they're trying to talk to voters. This isn't normal politics. And when this is happening, it makes it really difficult to then to try to have any sort of conversation about the things that the government wants to talk about, like whether it's work from home or what its plans are in health or education or anything else. So there was that sense that going in, trying to seek a unprecedented for Labor fourth consecutive term in Victoria, it was going to be near on impossible to do that with a deeply unpopular leader.
Chip Legrand is the state political editor for The Age and is joining me now. And, of course, The Age and the Nine newspapers have done some massive reporting, as have others, but really incredible reporting about the big build. In your mind, how much you've talked about, obviously, the MPs getting hit with this, but the Royal Commission issue, which Ben Carroll has said he will be having one, how much does that matter in terms of that state election, and will it move the needle for Labor?
I think there's two things going on here. I think for most people, the most powerful two words, if you like, of this whole big build scandal is $15 billion. Now, this is a contested figure. Mm. Jacinda Allen describes it as unfounded. But that figure that the anti-corruption barrister, Geoffrey Watson, came up with, he admits it, it's just an estimate, but he came up with that figure, and that has absolutely lodged itself in people's minds, in the political conversation, where people now talk about that $15 billion. And so the sort of things that they're putting to Labor MPs when they have a chance, or the thing that's going on in their mind is, well, what else could have been done with that $15 billion? How many potholes could that $15 billion have filled? How many schools could it build? What could that do to the hospital system? And so on. So that figure had become this really powerful thing in the minds of voters. In terms of the Royal Commission, I think that what that became is a litmus test within the caucus, so within the government, about what Jacinda Allen was willing to do to address this. And so in a lot of ways, this became the proxy leadership debate, the issue that really defined whether or not MPs felt like she had what it took to really turn things around. And I think her refusal to establish a Royal Commission, which Ben Carroll has told colleagues he's going to do, in a sense, that became the defining thing for a lot of MPs, particularly those ones who decided in the end that they weren't going to support her and they were going to support Ben Carroll to become the next Premier.
Mm. And of course, the big build is not just about that number and about how it's attached itself to controversy, but it is so much part of the brand of this particular government. This is Jacinda Allen, as part of her sort of farewell speech there, again talking up the projects that, in all senses, beyond the big build as well, and that part of her legacy.
That's why we build. And they are not just projects. They are assets that will improve our lives. The Liberals opposed them. Now, they're trying to rewrite history again by saying they're tainted or somehow a waste. Victorians won't buy that.
Chip, for Ben Carroll, let's assume that he will be the next leader, or for whichever leader is there, what's that tension going to be like between sort of maintaining the brand and the consistency and doing the distancing that's going to make a political difference? If the caucus didn't think that Jacinda Allen could do it, then surely they need to differentiate themselves. I'm thinking of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden here, that, you know, that distancing really will need to happen. They'll need, in effect, to bury some of the Jacinda Allen legacy.
The Royal Commission on that. Step two is the suburban rail loop. And that's a very difficult one. What can Ben Carroll do to reframe the suburban rail loop, which in a lot of people's minds now feeds into not just the corruption story surrounding the big build, but the way in which this government has driven the state so deep into debt on because of major infrastructure projects, and the opportunity cost that'll come from sinking so much more money into that one project when there's still lots of other things that need to be done, particularly, say, if we just look at Melbourne in the western part of the city. So what can Ben Carroll do? Does he adopt the Liberal Party policy of sort of pausing and reviewing the project? Maybe. What does that mean? It's hard to say, right? Mm-hmm. So this is such a dilemma. I don't know what he's going to do on this, but I do know that they feel like they need to do something. Mm. There'll be other ways in which they can differentiate a Carroll government from an Allen government, the other big issue, and this will fit more naturally into Ben Carroll's instincts. He is much more favourable towards business than what Jacinda Allen is, and so he will seek to reposition the government as being a lot more friendlier to business, open to business, perhaps there'll be some changes in payroll tax. Mm-hmm. Perhaps he'll look at what they're planning to do with the work from home laws. Again, we'll wait and see. But he'll definitely want to send a signal to business that this fairly hostile relationship that had developed at times between the business community and the Allan government, that's over, that he wants to mend that. Mm.
Chip, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your insights.
Okay. Thanks, Mary.
That's Chip LeGrand, State Political Editor for The Age. Andrew, you're in Benalla. What do you think about this morning's events?
Well, it's a long time coming, but I live in Benalla and we've got a hospital that's not fit for purpose. We've got no emergency room. We've got no emergency doctors, no resident doctors. I had to go to the emergency room and all you could see was a nurse, and then a doctor came in and I got a bill in the mail the next week for $350.
So Benalla is obviously needing healthcare, in your opinion. Does a change of premier convince you that things could get better, that there'll be more focus on that?
I don't see how it's going to get better anytime soon. It needs a massive change. But, you know, those $20 million art gallery upgrade in Bendigo, you've got the big build projects, you've got treaties, $1 billion, all this money, and you've got Benalla population catchment of about 13,000 people, and we can't have a proper emergency room. And you go to the emergency room and it's built on ideology, not on service.
Andrew, thank you for your thoughts. There are so many strands of dissatisfaction out there that I'm sure Labor pollsters have been dipping into, and you certainly are reflecting some of that. Thank you. Roz in Noble Park, what did you want to say?
Well, thank you very much for taking the call. Firstly, I'm a member of the Labor Party, and I'm very sorry that Jacinta's gone. But what I'm hoping will happen now is that some of the awful, personal, nasty Facebook stuff will stop. In all my years, and I'm old now, I've never seen such vitriol towards one particular woman. I thought her speech was gracious. And I also was a part of her Women in Pain program. She did a lot. She did a lot for women's health. I think that needs to be recognised. And hopefully the people that wanted her gone, now that she's gone, Mary, they'll look back with a bit more grace than they're showing now.
So, Roz, it sounds like you think there's a gender element to this.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a bit of a gender element. I mean, when you're a person of authority, people are going to like you or not just because of that, Mary, aren't they? So, I do think some of the work she did in women for hospitals. I mean, this all seems to me to revolve around the big build. Not everybody thinks the big build is a bad thing. Some of us think differently. I think that she's been in a very difficult position. But I thought her goodbye speech was good, and I'd like to thank her.
Roz, thank you so much for your thoughts as well. Do you agree with Roz? What did you think of the speech? Do you think there's a gender element? I want to talk a bit more about that with Paul Strangio. He's been looking at the history of our politics for so many decades, and he's going to zoom out and give us a bit of a wider perspective on this. Helen has said, Dan Andrews left Jacinta a financial mess. I do think being a woman made it harder for her. Joan Kerner all over again. As someone who can tell us about that is Paul Strangio. That's coming up next on The Conversation Hour.
On 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
You're with Mary Guerin.
Joining me now is Paul Strangio, who's Emeritus Professor of Politics at Monash University. Thanks for joining us, Paul. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Mary.
What do you think of this morning's events?
Well, it's been one of those days that politics occasionally throws up, chaotic, quick moving. I'm quite stunned by this latest development now with Sonia Kilkenny apparently throwing.
May I interrupt you, Paul? We've got some breaking news.
Right.
It is. Everything is moving very, very quickly. Gabrielle Williams has just been appointed interim Victorian Labor leader.
So they're going to a ballot.
It looks like it. So this is what our correspondent Richard Willingham has told us. While the party elects Jacinta Allen's replacement, Gabrielle Williams will be the interim leader. Ben Carroll was, of course, we thought, due to replace Jacinta Allen after she resigned. But at the caucus meeting with Sonia Kilkenny putting her hand up, that process could last weeks. That's what Richard is saying. And the caucus has resolved to formally open nomination for a period of 3 days. So this is breaking news this morning. Nominations opened for a period of 3 days. Paul Strangio, I'm just hitting you with that news. Cole, well, what do you think?
It is an extraordinary development because Allen resigned this morning and she couched in those terms that she wanted to avoid this sort of outcome where the government would be paralysed for 4 to 6 weeks. Because of the ballot having to go to party members. But Sonia Kilkenny's decision to throw her hat into the ring has actually made that now transpire. It would seem, therefore, she had 20% of caucus behind her because that's the threshold for candidacy, as I understand it. But it does mean effectively, yes, the government is in suspended animation now for some 4 to 6 weeks until they sort out who is the Labor leader and who, of course, is the Premier of this state. So that's a stunning development and one I think few would have expected. Kilkenny's clearly a loyalist of Allen's, and it might well reflect the degree now of animosity towards the circumstances that have seen Allen torn down over the past 24 hours.
Paul, I'll keep you in this conversation, but also joining it is Raf Epstein, who's had his ear to the walls, as we speak, of this party room. That's a bit of a stunning development, as Paul is saying. Limbo continues.
Limbo does continue. Paul understands this stuff. He's been keeping an eye on these things for a long time. This is a wild ride. And Paul's, if you don't know anything else, Paul's analysis is right. This is all about the animosity caused by the push to get rid of Jacinta Allen. Mm-hmm. Steve Demopoulos has now also nominated for deputy leader. What's difficult to know is how long it takes to resolve. I'm not sure what you've explained, just so people understand. If there's more than one contender, then it goes to the members. So it faces the prospect of being dragged out for ages. That's why Gabrielle Williams has been appointed as interim leader. The issue is the bad blood. Gabrielle Williams is there. You need an interim leader if you have a contest. We don't know for sure if the contest will go to the Labor rank and file. And now you've got these added complications because you've got two names for leader and you've got Steve Demopoulos going for deputy leader as well. So it's really about, keep in mind, Sonia Kilkenny and Steve Demopoulos, they are Jacinta Allen loyalists. They are pissed off. The other thing to keep in mind, the left controls the numbers, right? The left's got more people than the right. That's why Dan Andrews and Jacinta Allen were premier. Yep. That's why they were leader. So the left's saying, well, hang on, sure, we've lost some of the support within the left for Jacinta Allen, but the left, as the dominant faction, we get to say. And the only other thing I'll add to this, I'm sure you've got lots of questions, how long does it take to resolve? I don't know. But one of Jacinta Allen's supporters has texted me from inside the caucus saying at least 24 hours. So that is their aim right now before we get to Parliament meeting at 12 in half an hour's time. Their aim is to inflict pain and to get what they would see as justice. It could all be resolved in half an hour, but I don't think at the moment, I think Jacinta Allen's allies are playing for keeps and Jacinta Allen's critics would see this as they are burning the house down. And in fact, someone said to me this morning, someone backing Ben Carroll, they are intent on burning down the house and everyone inside of it, which is a pretty tough political metaphor. But that's how Ben Carroll's, well, 12 weeks from campaign and 14 weeks from voting.
As Chip LeGrand said, it's like we're all just heading towards an elegant handover and then what's just kept happening as we go on this morning. Joel, you're in Footscray. What's your reaction to these fast-moving events?
I just wanted to say that despite all of this, a lot of Victorians still don't have anyone to vote for. Like we've got We've still got, despite who comes out as leader, we've still got a Labor government weighed down by corruption. We've still got an opposition fighting amongst themselves and suing each other. We've still got the Greens blocking everything. And then we've got a progressive state with One Nation on the rise. So a lot of us who are progressive feel like we've got nowhere to go. And none of this infighting is helping. Like in Victoria, in Footscray now, I've got one Greens candidate that's failed twice. That's all I got.
Right. So for you, Joel, this added pain, whether it's for factional strength or not,
it just doesn't make any difference. Like, we still have all the same problems and they're still not listening to us.
Joel, thank you. Really interesting to hear. Damien in Coburg, what are you thinking this morning?
Oh, g'day. Good morning, Mary. I just wanted to contribute to the question of whether some of the vitriol directed at Alan on her way out is gendered, or, you know, whether it has been. And I tend to agree there is a gendered element. Like, just listening this morning, I should be listening to other stations, but you know, there is a bit of a gender split in the commentary, and there's blokes calling up and just launching into her without a lot of evidence, and it's sort of this dismissive, out of hand, like, she was this, she was that, she was a disgrace, and all the emotive language which we're seeing, you know, online. And I just wanted to contribute and say, as far as assessing a Premier's press conference on the way out, that gets a bit emotional. Well, if we can't see politicians as humans, then we're stuffed, you know? So,
oh, absolutely. That's my view. And as I was saying, she was emotional. That was, I think, with pride that she was talking about her contribution, especially to women's health and so forth. Damien, do you think it's
I would think so, because if we're going to start saying they're putting it on any politician when on their way out from an important job, then what's the game for?
Oh, exactly. We want humanity, don't we? And then when we get it, what do we do with it? Damien, thank you. Look how all this is landing. Raph Epstein is in the studio with me. Paul Strangio from Monash University, and you know him, of course, from decades of looking at politics both here and across Australia. We're talking about this fast-moving event. Damien just talked about the gender element there, Paul. What are your thoughts about that?
Look, it's very interesting. I've been puzzled by the degree of enmity towards Alan. Now, you could compare, for example, when Joan Kerner, our first woman premier, took over in August 1990. There were gendered elements towards Kerner, certainly, but over time she won regard and respect for the electorate, even though the Labor government was doomed. Alan has never been able to win, it would seem, a level of popularity or respect or regard out there. Why is that? I think one answer is that what had happened was that the pent-up anger towards Daniel Andrews was then projected onto Jacinta Allen after he left politics. But I think it also has to say something about the level of toxicity in politics today. Now, there's other things. I think she's made some major misjudgments about the big build and trying to plough through there and so on. But that almost visceral hostility is something that has been very notable. And I wondered whether her stepping aside today might dissipate and spare us from what I was fearing was going to be a very ugly campaign and contest later this year. So it is an intriguing question why she engendered so much anger out there.
Yeah, I'd like to hear people's theories. Before I let you go, Raph Epstein, I know you're going to just hop on to that phone that you're looking at right now.
I'm typing messages now, yes.
Any last word on any of Jacinta Allen's intentions?
Her intentions are clear, right? I don't think she'll stick around.
She won't stick around.
No, I don't think she'll stick around. The question is, and that's a guess, but that's based on more than just a guess. It's based on what people have said to me this morning. The interesting thing is the ABC has just been reporting, and my friends down at the Parliament, there's something going on there with Gabrielle Williams being either interim leader, in which case indicates a leadership contest, or Gabrielle Williams trying to install her as deputy leader. The reason that might not bury the hatchet is if Ben Carroll was Premier. Mm. And he's from the right.
Yep.
And Gabby Williams was Deputy. She's from the left. That's not going to please Jacinta Allen's critics. Gabby Williams is one of those ministers who went to Jacinta Allen yesterday and said she had to go. So all that really tells me, without getting enough messages from people inside that room, it's still messy. I think if we've got 25 minutes to go before they have to all come out to Parliament, unless they can delay that somehow, my best guess would be this is going to drag out for more than a day. And as Richard Willingham's been saying this on TV all day, and he's right, this is the stuff people are going to remember. This is going to be a huge weight on Labor's electoral prospects. If you're more interested in fighting, as your caller said earlier, forgive me, I don't remember his name, they're not interested in me. They're interested in themselves. That's just a huge weight in their saddlebags. And, yep, 14 weeks before people get to fill in a ballot paper.
Raph Epstein may well pop onto your radio as the day continues. Go and put that glass up against the party room wall.
I will.
And tell us what you hear.
At least electronically.
At least electronically. Also with me is Paul Strangio, who's Emeritus Professor of Politics at Monash University. As you can tell, this is still playing out. We are still trying to figure out what this limbo looks like, how long it will last. What effect does this have on you and your view? You've gone from potentially an elegant handover from the Premier to now a very messy situation. How do you feel about that? John in Bayswater, what are you thinking?
Oh, good morning, Mary. I think it's the very old playbook where divide and conquer comes into play. We have the Liberals tearing themselves apart. Now we've got Labor tearing themselves apart, coming up to an election, and sitting in the back wings is One Nation being coordinated, fairly unified. They don't have many policies, but
they don't even have a leader.
Oh, what's happened there? Is Pauline gone?
Oh, no, in Victoria.
That's it. They don't have to, because the Liberals and Labors are squabbling so much against themselves and throwing hand grenades at each other across the fence. It's just made the whole thing a big mess, creating the pathway for One Nation to come
to
through.
Sail on around. John, thank you. Interesting thoughts. Do you agree with John? Paul Strangio has been very patient and waiting on the line there. Just before I let you go, Paul, as we are waiting to see what happens out of this party room, we're still just waiting. It's just, as Raph said, 14 weeks before an election. Historically, can you put this into perspective? Is this just crazy making?
Victorian Labor's longer term history was one of dysfunction and ill discipline. But this century, this party, its trademark has been stability, and it's been able to project itself as stable as opposed to the Liberal Party, which has cycled through leaders, which has been full of personal and ideological hatreds. So you could argue that at this moment, Labor is actually sacrificing one of its great assets that has made it the dominant party of government in Victoria now for more than two decades. Mm. So, you know, I think it's enormously high stakes. I would, at this moment, you would say, in most other circumstances, the coalition would sail to a victory now in November, but they have their own baggage. Mm. You know, many of us suspect Jess Wilson is holding it together with sticky tape. And it's that question, as one of your callers has said, do we have a viable alternative government in this state? And that's the question that Victorians in good conscience will be racking their minds over the next 4 months.
Mm.
You know, which party or combination of parties can provide viable government?
That is the question. Paul Strangio, thank you for giving us some perspective as we hurtle through some unprecedented times.
Thanks, Mary.
That's Paul Strangio, who's Emeritus Professor of Politics at Monash University. This is The Conversation Hour on 774 ABC Melbourne and Victoria. I want to keep hearing from you about what your thoughts are and whether what we're hearing over the last half hour in terms of the messiness of this process, what that is meaning to you. Patrick in Northcote, what are you thinking about this morning's events?
G'day. Look, I think that all of this hubbub about the leadership will be gone in about 48 to 72 hours. And then people will be locked into the policies. Obviously, the Labor Party has got, you know, been a long time in government and there'll be an its time factor. But you'd hardly credit the opposition for having a full slate of popular policies. It's it's unclear really what they stand for at this point.
So, Patrick, that's one side of the ledger, of course. Sure. But as we were sort of pontificating this morning, Ben Carroll or whoever it is presumably has to create some distance between themselves and Jacinta Allen. What are their policy movements, shifts that you'd be looking for then or that you think should happen?
Well, let me firstly say that they need to lock down progressive voters, and they do that by maintaining their support for the treaty. There's a lot of people who'd be looking at the Liberals and thinking, I won't vote for them because I support the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Labor locks down the progressive vote with the treaty. And then as far as additional policies concerned, call a Royal Commission, have a proper inquiry. Everybody will be studying the terms of reference very closely, of course. But then it's back to the usual things that state governments do. More hospitals, more schools, fill the potholes, a couple of big projects. You're talking about someone who's had six portfolios against someone who's had nil.
Patrick, interesting. Tell me if you agree with Patrick, who's mentioning treaty and then the Royal Commission to big build and then the bread and butter of state government. Is this what it all comes down to for you? And in which case, which would be the things that would need to change or stay the same? 1300 222 774. Joining me now is one of the hardest working men in show business this morning, Richard Willingham. He's the ABC state political reporter. And Rich, how do you even sum up what's happening right now in the party room?
I can't say it on air. I don't think it'll be. I think you use the dump button. It's a circus. It's chaos. This was meant to be a smooth transition, but right now the party is still in the caucus room negotiating what's going to happen. Ben Carroll was challenged as not the only leader having a crack, putting his hand up. Sonia Kilkenny, the Attorney General, has also nominated for leadership, which means there'll be a contested ballot, which could go to members and could last as long as 6 weeks. Now, what will happen now is the formal open for nominations of leaders for leader will be open until 1 p.m. tomorrow, we understand. In that period, Gabrielle Williams will be the interim leader, the interim acting Premier of Victoria for that period while this ballot is conducted. Now, she has also been elected as the Deputy Premier. And what is happening, the rumour sources...
I just interrupt you? She's interim Victorian Labor leader and she's been voted Deputy Leader?
Deputy Premier, yeah.
Deputy Premier. Yeah. So she's wearing the two hats?
Yeah, okay. Why not? We can all wear many hats.
Absolutely.
I've done TV and radio today, so there you go.
Right. And Raf was talking before about this is not going to please Jacinta Allen's supporters, apart from anything else, because Gabrielle Williams led the troop in to tell Jacinta Allen her fate.
Yeah, she was part of the cross-factional delegation that went in and blew it up. I think that the socialist left faction has been massively split in this process. It's the biggest group in the caucus, but it's been massively split between those that stayed loyal to Jacinta Allen and those who decided it's time to move on. They were hoping for a smooth transition and they're not getting it. This is chaos. And what's the time now, Mary? At midday, the bells will ring and Parliament has to begin. The Speaker of the Lower House and the President of the Upper House have had to leave caucus to get ready for Parliament as they're the presiding officers, so they're preparing for that. So the siren's going to go pretty soon and we're going to hopefully learn some things. But what we do know is that Gabrielle Williams has been appointed the interim leader for some period. There's going to be a contested ballot. How long this goes, we don't know. And whether the members get a say, we still don't know. The rules say that they do, but there could be some other mechanisms. They could also negotiate the fact that there won't be a contested ballot if one of the two contenders withdraws or doesn't put their nomination before 1 o'clock tomorrow. So I expect this is going to drag a long time, Mary, and we'll probably be talking tomorrow about it again.
So the next step we should be listening at what time today?
Hopefully we have some more concrete comments soon, but it's chaos. It is chaos.
Okay. I hope you've got your protein snacks with you, Richard.
I don't. Can you get a delivery to Spring Street, please,
Mary? I'll do my very, very best. Anyone would like some delivery to Parliament House? Thank you so much for joining us, Richard. Appreciate your time on such a busy day.
No worries. Cheers.
That's Richard Willingham, ABC State Political Reporter. I'd still love to hear from you, 1300 222 774. What do you think will Jacinta Allen's legacy be? What do you think of her speech this morning? And what do you think of what is playing out after the what we've heard this morning from the party room? Let's have a little break and think about our glorious swimmers at the Commonwealth Games.
Charlie Pickering.
What is the worst intersection in Melbourne?
It's a nightmare. Accidents multiple times a week.
We are lucky you're still alive.
Give me a call. We're going to try and get them fixed.
Drive from 3 on 774 ABC Melbourne. On 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
This is The Conversation Hour.
You're with Mary Guerin.
Yes, we're turning away from the breaking news of the day and devoting far too little time to our marvellous swimmers. Joining me now is Olympian, gold medalist in World Aquatics Championships herself, Pan Pac champion, now the National Wellbeing and Engagement Manager at Swimming Australia. You know her, Lynley Frame, who joins us from Los Angeles. Thank you so much, Lynley.
Hi, Mary. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk with you too. And I'm sorry, I'd love to have more time with you. I want to just touch on a few things. Apart from anything else, if people haven't heard, got 7 golds in the pool last night. I think it's our most successful night so far in the Commonwealth Games. Lynley Frame, your heart must just be bursting with pride. What would you have to say about the Dolphins this year in this Commonwealth Games?
Look, we're incredibly proud of their performances. The team was selected 5 weeks ago. They've had a training camp in Darmstadt in Germany, and then they headed straight to Glasgow. But their performances have been really consistent. Their support of each other across the Olympic and the para program has been fantastic. And, you know, I think for them to be able to continue to back up their performances day after day in the pool, but also to be each other's cheerleaders is incredibly, you know, important across a meet that goes very quickly once it starts.
Mm. Lynley Frame is with you. We're talking about the Commonwealth Games. Have you been watching it? Let me know, 1300 222 774. Lynley, you're not in Glasgow. You're in LA for the Pan Pacs. Now, of course, people think, wait a minute, Pan Pacs is happening, what, in a couple of weeks, and we've got all of our best in Glasgow. How does that work?
So I'm currently at the University of California in San Diego. We've got our open water team. Our open water athletes have just flown from Sierra Nevada in Spain, where they've had a training camp, and they'll start their competition on the 10th of August. We've actually started here. And the great thing about this is we're actually trialling this as a training venue for our lead into the LA Olympic Games. And then starting on the 12th of August, we will start the pool events. You know, we're competing against the US, Canada, Japan. The competition is going to be a really top-notch competition. It's a really short four-day meet. So our team will leave Glasgow and have a really short staging camp here at the university, and then head straight back into another competition.
And so from your point of view, this lead up to the Olympics, how's that going for your swimmers there? How do we sit at the moment?
I think we're sitting in a really good position. And I think the other thing we're doing is giving them really great exposure to competition in the Americas. At the end of last year, they competed in a World Cup series. This year, it's the Pan Pacific Championships, the Para Pan Pacific Championships, and our junior athletes will actually head to Vancouver. So each quad of the cycle tends to sort of focus on competition leading into where those Olympics and Paralympic Games are going to be. So I would say we're really well on track, and we're starting to see some of our younger athletes and rookie athletes, as we've seen at the Commonwealth Games, starting to come through and do some great performances at things like the Commonwealth Games, and we're hoping to continue that success at the Pan Pacific Championships.
Lindley, I apologise for the short time we have to speak with you this morning. I'd love to get you back because I know you're doing such fantastic work at Swimming Australia in terms of that wellbeing and engagement for the swimmers. But alas, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Mary.
That's Lindley Frame and talking obviously about the wonderful work that we're doing in the pool in Glasgow and America as well. You're on 774 ABC Melbourne and Victoria on a rollicking conversation hour this morning. Also, what we wanted to talk about, just as a little break from politics as well, is remembering the late, great Bill Oddie, one of my childhood heroes, essentially, as part of the goodies. You can get me singing that theme or any of their songs at any given time. He has died aged 85, if you haven't heard that news. Joining me now is Jeff Green, British comedian and writer. Thank you so much for joining me, Jeff. Jeff Green, thank you so much for joining me today.
That's okay.
What was your reaction when you heard that Bill Oddie had died?
To be honest, I wasn't expecting to be particularly moved, but I really was. And I sort of dragged up, why was Billy so Bill Oddie so important to me? And it was because he'd been such a part of the fabric of growing up as a child. Obviously, we watched The Goodies. And then, obviously, as a comedian, I met Bill twice, but not in a professional capacity. I met him. He used to go to the same cafe that I went to in Hampstead in North London. And he was notoriously grumpy. So if you and people warned you, don't talk to Bill, unless you're a robin or a sparrow. He has no interest in the human race anymore. And
what stage of his career was he grumpy? Was it all the way through?
I think he was. I mean, at one point, I saw Bill Oddie, and I've only ever seen him live, and I saw him here in Melbourne when The Goodies came. It must have been 20 years ago. They came and did a reunion at Hamer Hall, and I had no idea how much The Goodies had impacted Australia. And I was then told by all my Australian friends that they were shown at a certain time on television, and everybody basically watched it after school. So Hamer Hall was packed. And we had this surreal moment of us all of us watching The Goodies with The Goodies as he went through. And Bill, I'll be honest, Bill still had the comedy chops. Mm. Even on stage, Bill had the charisma. Bill had he was the funniest by far. No disrespect to Tim Brooke Taylor and Graham Garden, but Bill was still the star. Mm. And it reminded me of thinking, what a loss that they're not doing comedy anymore.
Absolutely. Certainly an integral part of my childhood. 1300 222 774. Tell me your stories of Bill Oddie and your memories of The Goodies. When I think about The Goodies, it's like endless hours in front of all of the repeats in Australia. But what I wasn't aware of as a child, obviously, was that they were contemporaries of the Monty Python gang, weren't they?
They really were. I mean, they came from that golden era, I suppose, golden British comedy era. We call them the Oxbridge comedians. So they all came out of Oxford and Cambridge in the footlights. And so obviously Monty Python, and of course the Derek and Clive, I'm going to call them, but so there was that big group that came through Edinburgh, and it's basically the group, and then eventually of course Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie. So Cambridge and Oxford have got this long history of providing comedy to the world, and they were part of it. I don't know if they would get a gig anymore. I wonder, would they get a TV show? The great thing about them is they were clean and surreal and great. Bill was a great musician. He brought out a couple of albums before he was famous, and he wrote for a lot of very famous British TV shows. But you know, were they of their era? Have you watched them since? I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I sat and watched The Goodies with The Goodies, I was still rolling around with
absolutely
laughter at Ecky Thump.
Anytime someone mentions string, I'm going to sing. Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess that was part of, you talk about the grumpiness, but there was a deep frustration from all of them, weren't there, that they weren't considered as clever as they were, because they had all this slapstick, they had all the visual gags, because they had those songs, were considered a children's show. But, you know, last laugh to them if the legacy has lived on this much.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they weren't a children's show. They were far more, as you say, far more sophisticated than that. Well, they were writing for all the big shows in the UK. That was the week that was. They wrote Doctor in the House. They wrote so many things other than the goodies. And then, of course, Tim Brooks had a very long career on British radio on doing a lot of the news quiz shows. So, their legacy will live on. And maybe, sadly, now that Bill has departed, maybe they'll be rediscovered by Gen Z and Gen Alpha.
Absolutely. They need it. I think they need it more than ever. Jeff Green, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No worries.
Jeff Green is British comedian and writer. Were you singing along? String, 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 string. Kim, you've called in from Ballarat. What have you thought about this morning's tumultuous events in Victorian politics?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm a nurse in Ballarat, and I just want to say briefly, I think Jacinta Allen inherited a terribly poisoned chalice. Victorian finances have been struggling terribly since COVID. People have no idea. And I'm really grateful for the amount of work she's done with women's health, especially endometriosis. I'm seeing a lot of young women coming through the hospital and getting their endometriosis treated, which is a wonderful thing. And I wish all of this misogynistic crap would stop.
Right. You think that's definitely an element of this morning?
Oh, yeah. Some of the words, you know, we're not debating properly. We need to learn how to converse with each other a bit better, I believe.
Kim, thank you so much for your thoughts. Really appreciate it. And keep those calls coming into 774. As the afternoon continues, we will, of course, on every platform at ABC News, be following this online, on your radio, on TV as well, because things certainly are not over. I'm being told that Ben Carroll is the premier. Can we just have a quick snap at the show for that?
I am delighted to announce that we have a new premier of Victoria. Ben Carroll has been unanimously endorsed by the State Parliamentary Labor Party as our next premier of Victoria. I am also delighted to announce that Gabrielle Williams will be our deputy premier.
There you have it. Ben Carroll is your new Premier, Victoria. Yes, the Conversation Hour has taken you from what looked like a predictable outcome all the way through uncertainty and out again. Join me again on the Conversation Hour tomorrow. Let's see what happens.